Hello and welcome to the 123rd.
It could even be 24.
Episode of The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio, Los Angeles's most popular biennial radio station.
Well, I think the verdict's still out on that one.
I think we're doing better than K-Day for biennials.
What about KCRW?
KCRW, I also think we're beating them, and we're surprisingly beating The Wave as well.
Oh, great.
The Wave has been in no biennials.
None. How many has K-Chung been in?
I think this is our first biennial.
One, okay. Yeah. So we're 100% better than K-Day.
So, it's been I don't know about you, Nicholas, but I've had a particularly rich week in terms of talking experiences, both outside my body and inside my body. You wouldn't believe what kind of a week I've had.
I've had a pretty dry week.
For talking?
Yeah, pretty dry talking week.
Why is that?
Solitude, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, yeah. I can do you one better on that count as well.
Please do.
But on the other hand, earlier this week, I had the pleasure of going to the Getty Research Institute and looking through, just scratching the surface of the David Anton papers, which are stored there.
Oh, dear.
And gosh, is there some stuff in there. I think it's safe to say that K-Chung listeners will have plenty of fantastic findings from the Anton files.
Is
bubbling forth soon.
Are Eleanor's files there as well?
I believe some of them are.
Okay.
I just cracked the very pointy surface. They also have his whole papers, everything. It is wild.
Like even like his receipts, his tax receipts?
I think that's the kind of stuff that they would have, yeah.
Wow. Like 6 donuts on July 7th, 1981.
I think as long as he ate them with another poet, they qualify. or something like that. So that was one thing that happened, and the Getty Villa is quite nice. And they also have a great exhibit of Yvonne Rainer, scores, documentation, paper ephemera, etc., which I would recommend anyone interested in David Anton to go take a look at as well.
Yeah.
If you're into one of those things, you'll probably be into the other.
How do you get to, scratch the surface of the archive?
You have to become a Stax reader. You have to sign up at the library to get a library card that allows you in.
To the Getty Library.
Yeah. And okay. Then you're allowed to request materials in advance and have them brought to you.
Okay. Can you use a pen or is it pencils only?
For the special collections, you have to use gloves. You can use pencils only. You are allowed to photograph things for your own purposes. So if you can set up a clean tripod, you could probably get pretty decent material though.
Great.
Yeah, it's a lovely library.
Yeah.
Little used, but don't let the secret get out. And then the other incredible thing that just happened just before I arrived here.
Oh, wow.
I was in an isolation tank in Venice in a room with black lights. I didn't notice because I was in an isolation tank, but outside the isolation tank, there were black lights. And the entire facility was administered by a man named Crash.
Crash. You know, it's shocking to me, Steve, that you're able to go into an isolation chamber for any duration without your phone.
I initially experienced a great feeling of anxiety.
About the phone?
About not having enough to think. The time allotted was 2 hours. And so I was concerned that I would run out of things to think about within the first 10 minutes, and then I would want to refer to my telephone.
Yeah.
And amazingly, I didn't once refer to my telephone. I feel amazing. My skin looks good. My back feels great.
You look somehow healthier.
I feel incredible.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If for some reason, say, Crash had maybe taken one too many Vong rips this evening.
Yeah.
He brought your phone to you in the isolation chamber. Maybe it was lowered from some hole you didn't see in the ceiling.
Right.
What would be the first thing you did, say, after hour one and a half with your phone introduced into the isolation chamber?
I haven't looked at my phone since. Other than to text you and tell you I was coming.
So that's what you would have done.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it would have just been like, hold on, Nicholas, I'm coming.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I guess the point there is that in terms of talking, the voice was definitely coming from inside
right.
the head. Mm-hmm. It was purely internal.
They were thoughts.
They were thoughts. There was a lot going on. It was a pretty busy time, I have to be honest. But I think that's a relevant segue into today's guest, because indeed, today as well, the talking is coming from inside the building. A few weeks ago, we had station manager John Martin / Jungle Guts on.
With and his dogs, I think.
And some dogs, and an incredible litany of arcane Pokemon knowledge.
Yep.
And today, even keeping the noose even tighter around the content and human territory, maybe even as tight as me talking to myself in an isolation tank, we have...
Too true.
We have the DJs you just heard on the radio.
Yep.
And they are going to do something no DJs do for 45 minutes.
None.
On the radio.
Nope.
Which is talk.
They're going to talk.
And this is a run-up. This is an exchange program we're doing where also later, sometime in the coming year, you and I will play bangers, music bangers on the radio.
The world has no idea how deep our cuts are.
It's just going to be that one fucking Jürgen Kock record over and over again. Just that one kick drum that... yeah, just like just changing the reverb on it. Anyway,
yeah.
So without any hesitation, here we have the people who were just on the air a minute ago.
The one and only.
The two and only.
Too true.
Too true.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Hello.
Thanks, Steve and Nicholas, for having us on your show.
My heart is beating really fast. I'm excited.
I'd like to discuss this stack of records.
Go ahead.
Western Bird Songs. But this is a 78. How do you play this at K-Chung?
On these fancy turntables. I think they do 78.
They do, actually.
They do.
Don't you need a different type of stylus for a 78, though?
No.
No?
Not if they're not made of...
You're not allowed to talk to us. Right? Not if they're not made of shellac. I've never owned a 78.
Do people produce things on 78s?
Now?
Yeah. They do, for sure. There's some person out there.
I wonder.
Definitely. Made of tree sap or something.
If the cutting equipment for 78s is still available.
Can you hand cut it? Or just you can make a mold or something of another one?
I don't know. You can't really hand cut it. It's like a machine.
No,
maybe. You know records. The needle goes in the groove. So, Cornell University, the voices of 10 familiar songbirds recorded in their native habitats.
What's your favorite bird?
Unfortunately, my knowledge of birds is limited to, like, maybe blue jay, pigeon. What other kind of birds? You want to turn it up?
The headphones on. Put on the headphones. There you go.
Thank you. There's a great image of this guy on the back of the Western Bird Songs record.
Let's talk more about birds.
Interestingly, what?
Birds.
Well, but he has this great parabolic reflector for his microphone. Have you ever seen one of these?
Yeah, at the Science Museum. And at the NFL games.
I really like that this record makes a distinction between authentic sound effects and what maybe would be an inauthentic sound effect.
What's your favorite sound effect?
I really like the classic sound effects. Do you know about this thing in sound design where they reuse the same old scream sounds and stuff? You know, like there's one screaming sound that's in every film. I should know
it
what
sounds
it's
like
called.
That. It always yeah. sounds the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then they'll like put the sound in the film just to reference the history of the sample.
Mm-hmm. But be more specific about your favorite classic sound effect.
I don't know. I don't know too much about the... Let me see this record.
Now you have to get... It's your favorite sound effect. All what right, is right. it?
My favorite sound effect is...
First one. What is it? Pot breaking.
No, a pot breaking? Does a pot break? Is that like a
sound? In Home Alone or something. Yeah, definitely.
Like a clay pot.
Terracotta. Or something. Yeah.
Well...
You got no
Max sound. Keeps taking the sound effects.
You got no sound effects. Come on.
Record away. I need something to comment on. I'm far too tired to generate speech.
What did it sound like when you were sleeping?
You know, it's surprising how loud the noise floor is in the summertime if you have a fan on and an air conditioner. The air conditioner that's in my apartment is particularly loud. So it's really like the very loud air conditioner sound.
Kind of the opposite of an isolation chamber.
Yeah. Peaceful, though.
A modern piece. Postmodern piece.
Yeah. Well, what did you do today?
I got a student ID. Which I've
a
coveted.
Fake student ID?
A real student ID, which I have wanted for maybe 5 years now.
For what reason?
Travel discounts, I think, number one. Movie discounts, play discounts.
So just all manner of student discounts?
All discount, any kind of student
what,
discount.
What institution gave you this ID?
UCLA. I'm a Bruin. I mean, I have a Bruin card.
Does
yeah.
it say that you're enrolled for the semester?
No, it says nothing like that.
But do you think you think you can still use it for...
I mean, I'm gonna try.
It'll probably work.
Yeah. We'll see. Cost me nothing. Do you want to see it?
You know, speaking of... Speaking of academic discounts, I was reading on Yelp that Quality Electronics sold an academic version of something to somebody who was in the store.
What does that mean?
That's just really shady.
In what
this
sense?
Says staff.
Shit.
This says UCLA staff.
Teacher.
Teacher.
Professor Emeritus.
Professor Krivitsky.
Well, it's a good photo, at least.
It's a great photo.
I decided to not shave because I figured if I looked older in the future...
if you
I probably would, you know, I could be masked.
Oh, you didn't shave for your ID. All right, yeah, so let's hear the rationale for this.
I figured in the future I'd probably be scruffier generally.
Oh, so you made a plan to be extra scruffy after the photo shoot.
What? No, before. No, just in case.
Your plan was to be a little scruffy for the photo.
Exactly, yeah. So.
And then, but to.
So I figured.
Become more scruffy later.
In the situation where I need to use a UCLA staff ID to get me further in life,
You would take a few days and grow.
No, I would already be in that beard. State. I mean, it's easier to relate to a scruffy version of me than it is to relate to a clean version in a state of distress. You know? It's like harder to be clean when things aren't going so well, but it's easy to be scruffy.
So I thought that the intention of the scruff was... Oh, I guess I didn't understand at all.
Do you get it? No?
No.
No, so... If I appear to be young student-like now, it's going to be harder to assume that ID personality when I'm older and I'm just like a scruffy or old person. And I'm like, I'm a staff, UCLA staff. And like, well, you look like you're 17 right here. I'm like, fuck, I should have had a scruff when I took the photo, which is what I prepared for.
I see. I hate photos.
Is it possible to not have a photo ID? Can you say it's a religious objection and get through life without having your photo taken for passports or?
Well, do you still want to be able to do what the passport does for you?
Of course, but I'm just, you know, it's a question.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you can't get her in. No.
Oh, you're saying no? For sure.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
There are no exceptions. Have you ever been to the post office? There are no exceptions.
No, I haven't. No, definitely not.
Have you ever? I'm sure you haven't actually, but.
Oh.
Have you ever tried to approach the postal worker behind the counter when there's a long line just to like ask a question or something?
No, because I definitely know you have.
Because the mob really.
No, it's not like something that you can do.
The mob does not like that.
I know you've.
That's something you can do though, as opposed to the picture with the passport thing. You can't do.
We'll see. I don't know.
How are we going to see?
I mean, I can get a staff discount at some point.
Wait.
UCLA staff discount.
What?
I could wear a hat, you know, when I have to present my ID.
In the photo? You would wear a hat in the photo?
No. See, the photo's already been taken, yeah.
But why would you try to make yourself look different from the photo?
No, like you know, when a celebrity goes abroad and they wear like a hat and they grow a beard or something. And then it's like, oh, I don't know. But if you show the ID, you're like, oh, you could be this person, you know. The spectrum of possibility is ripped open by the hat, beard, disguise.
On a scale of 1 to 5, what do you think the level of our talk is right now? It's hovering around a 2 to 3.
Theta. I don't know.
Should we kick it into high gear?
Yeah. Do you have your easy pass?
My easy pass.
That'll get us there quicker.
What should we talk about?
What'd you do today?
It's not that exciting.
Okay, do you know that Hillary Clinton got paid $300,000 to speak at UCLA? But but she donated the money to the Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Chelsea fund.
That's how they're rich.
And Bill got paid $250,000.
Just to be there?
Just a smile. Smile from the audience.
Just to be in the audience. You know, I'd just like to challenge you to find a photograph where Bill Clinton is not wearing a watch that costs more than less than $100,000. Find a photograph where Bill Clinton is wearing a watch that costs less than $100,000. Can't do it. He's just as into fancy watches as Vladimir Putin, if not more.
What's up with his watch collection?
I think that his are supposed to be gifted or something, because he's not supposed to have a fortune. You know?
Yeah.
But he probably does, right?
Yeah. What kind of architecture holds his fortune? I mean, besides a server. Do you think there are assets hidden in some kind of...
I have no idea. I mean, fortified it might be...
thing.
I really couldn't even speculate on that.
Reptiles protect it.
A reptilian protection system.
Viper alarm. Definitely.
What do you think is the... what do you think is the motivation for people who see this Illuminati thing in a reptilian way?
The motivation?
Yeah, like what makes people think that it's all about reptiles and shit?
I don't... Why do people see reptiles when they are on acid?
You think reptiles are some kind of like...
subconscious visual that people just default to and they can't figure out what's going on. You know, it's like your brain hits a wall and it's like it hits the lizard wall and you're like, that's where I am.
It hits the lizard wall and then you see the lizard.
And you're like, it's everything's a lizard. Fuck.
Steve's telling us that we're up to a 4.
We're wavering. We're getting a 6 from the south.
Nicholas,
weather's blowing
6.
In, blowing north.
What do you think is the difference between your life now and before you started smoking weed?
No difference.
Moving on. What do you think's the difference?
Commercial break.
In your mom's life.
What about your mom's life?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Does your dad's eBay store have a name?
Why, yes, it does.
What's the name of his eBay store?
It's called Big Ass Glass. What do you think it sells?
Cinema lenses adapted for DSLRs.
Bongs. No, you're right. How much sleep do you think it's healthy to get?
No more than... I don't know. It depends. I don't know.
Just let's speculate.
I think it's so variable. It's like it changes every day. It's like the stock exchange, you know, it goes up. Like if the world is in one frequency, you sleep. You just have to sleep. It's impossible not to.
So the chaos of the world determines what the right.
Definitely. I mean, there's no cycle.
Of sleep is.
The idea of a cycle is a myth, for sure.
It's a myth.
Yeah, I think.
Is it?
Sleep.
Oh, is it?
Demands are ever changing. Just like the world is slowing down. Like, how is that possible that we could have a. If our orbit is slowing down, how are we supposed to be sleeping one amount of time all the time? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, but.
Right.
You don't think that there's a certain amount of rest that is optimal?
Definitely, I do.
Are the days the same length? I guess not really.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Are they? I don't think so. They must not be.
Well, they don't feel like it.
Well, if the Earth is slowing down, then no, definitely not. Days must be getting longer.
Well, I mean, but every, you know, with the daylight savings time and all that shit, it's like, you know, the length of the day, the amount of time that the sun is out changes, right? For sure. And so that impacts how long you feel like the day. I mean, especially if you get up at the same time and then you experience this different length of daylight.
Than other humans.
I feel like this is some pretty basic shit.
No, it's not, because why does Bill Clinton wear a $100,000 watch?
Well, because people pay him a lot of money to, Hey, guys, really distracting. The talking show is trying to have another show in the corner.
Called the drinking show.
Sorry, I didn't mean for that to be so mean sounding. It was supposed to be more jovial.
So the sleep thing, it's not.
You don't
be.
Think like 7 hours sounds like a good amount of time?
Yeah, it sounds great. But sometimes, and definitely not just no, not all the time, and never for always. This year,
what about you think longer than 7 hours?
If it feels right. I mean, it's kind of, I'm at the, of the opinion where you wake up when you feel like you're done sleeping.
But isn't that like eating until you feel full?
No, because if you eat until you feel full for like 4 years and then you're like, damn, I can't, this is not going to happen anymore. And then you just change naturally. And you're like, I got to be healthy. So if you keep sleeping all the time, you're like, you know what? I can't, my body's not ready for that anymore. I got to sleep less.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about Andy Kaufman's outfit on the cover of this record?
The tie is sculptural.
It's fucking hideous. It's the worst of the 70s right here.
Was Andy on drugs?
Gigantic collar. Wimpy, huge collar with a fucking grandma's rug tie.
Why don't you like the collar?
I don't know. Looks like a Karl Lagerfeld shirt.
What does that mean?
It's very tall.
Is he tall?
Karl Lagerfeld? Or Andy Kaufman? I bet both of them short.
The shirt maker.
The shirt maker? Was the shirt maker tall? I don't think Andy Kaufman had a shirt maker, did he? This is not that exciting.
What are you going to do after this?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go home. What are you going to do after this?
But I mean, are you going to be able to sleep because you just took a nap?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sleep.
How many hours did you sleep?
I slept shortly after I got home from work, so maybe about 7:30 until 11:20. Almost 4 hours. It's kind of
3 hours, 50 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, 7:30 to 11:20. What did I say?
11:20. Yeah. How many hours do you predict you'll sleep again? The next cycle.
Probably about 7 hours or so.
So 11
so that'll
hours.
Be,
yeah.
That'll be a significant amount of time. So this.
But does that? But I mean, does that? Is that your sleep cycle? 11 hours.
No, I really try to keep it to 7 hours, but it's been so hot.
Is the air conditioner not peaceful?
It's pretty loud. So this record, Bertolt Brecht's A Man's a Man, music by Joseph Raposo. Andrew's dad.
Andrew who?
Raposo.
Who's Andrew?
Andrew's a cool guy. He's a musician, bass player.
How do you know Andrew?
We went to Bard together. He's in the band Midnight Magic, Jessica Six. You know this guy?
No, I don't.
Used to date Michelle for a really long time. Yeah. He wrote
Gesundheit.
He wrote It's Not Easy Being Green, his dad. It's pretty cool, huh?
Incredible.
You don't think that's cool? That song's great.
I'm having a hard time in, yeah, engaging.
You don't, Sesame Street, it's not your style.
It was too early, I think.
All right.
In the morning.
So let's think about this other record, which is called The Language and Music of the Wolves, narrated by Robert Redford.
Do wolves have a richer vocabulary than we do?
Tell me about that.
I mean, what do you think?
I doubt it. Don't you think that their speech is limited to like, hey, over there? Like, do you think there's like a wolf, a wolf Shakespeare?
Well,
like an underground Wolf Shakespeare or an underground Wolf Cervantes, you know?
My thought is that they haven't had the chance to be conditioned social. I mean, definitely they have been conditioned socially in one sense, but taught, gone to school.
So and you so think
they might be able to use more of their mind.
Public
have a more expanded
education for wolves is part of your platform.
No, no, it doesn't exist. And so they've allowed to explore their entire mind, their entire capabilities of language and the more nuanced.
What do you think about the idea that culture is just... it's just a way to, it's a coping mechanism to deal with the inanity of human existence.
It's definitely one of them, yeah. Are we helping people cope?
Well, interaction with culture is the coping mechanism.
I mean, are we...
What we're doing right now.
We're letting more people
cope. Because otherwise
cope.
We'd be standing at staring at the wall and thinking, oh, fuck, you know. There's nothing, right?
I mean, there is nothing, definitely.
What do you think about what do you think about contemporary art in relation to this idea?
Culture. The idea of culture.
Well, specifically the idea of culture as a coping mechanism.
And how does contemporary art
fit into that rubric?
I don't know if I understand culture. I mean, I don't...
Well, any kind of art or, you know, any kind of, like, you know, exaltation of process of human creativity or whatever, you know, anything like that. It's so fucking precious, right?
No, I mean, I think... I guess what I mean to say is that the word culture, whatever I may think of it, is probably not what it's supposed to describe. And if whatever I think of contemporary art as, you know, I can't even accurately suggest a way that it might interact with something I don't even know what it is. Does that make sense? Also, the word contemporary art is so problematic.
I'm not trying to get into that.
Well, it's hard for me to talk. Okay, art. Who's art? John's art. Is this art? Do you think that this is art?
I mean, who cares? That's my feeling.
Exactly.
But... Shit. I had a thought about that.
What is contemporary art? Let's talk about that.
Wow. It's that time of night.
You brought it up.
All right. So what's my thought about this? That is everything fine?
Everything is fine, definitely. But that word kind of sucks, contemporary art.
I know. The work sucks.
No, the word sucks. No.
Oh, no. The work sucks.
No, there's lots of good stuff.
Some of the work is good.
It's all good. Or it's not good. None of it's good.
I'm just an art fan.
You?
Yeah.
You're an art fan. What does that mean for you?
It means that I get to talk about art without having to pretend like I really have a stake in it.
What do you like to talk about?
I'm most interested in the social structure of contemporary art scenes and the way that that influences the work and the distribution of the work.
But that's not the work.
I think it is.
But then, I mean, the way you just talked about it, it's not the work, right?
I think it is, because I think that that's, you know, that's the location of the work. That's
so the
that's where the work is doing its work, man.
Ah, yes. So the work that every work relates to itself.
Well, all artworks have lives.
Yes, everything has a life.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think about this a lot, actually, in terms of Guan's paintings. No? Max is shaking his head. I'm a huge fan of Guan's work.
Tell me about it.
And I already have. That's why you're... Guan's studio is right next to the Kaechung booth. And so I look at her paintings every week. And I don't know. That's pretty cool.
But talk about them.
Well, I just think about how it's cool that I get to see these paintings that I really love every week, and, you know, in a context that's like, I just go into that room and like check out the work, and it makes me happy, and I take pictures of it and I laugh about it all the time. I find new things to laugh at, you know? I mean, not at, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, with.
I do think that her paintings laugh. Yes.
Tell me about that.
I don't know. They just have a great sense of humor. Like, the one real iconic piece, the Ultimate Boys painting.
Ultimate Boys.
Have you looked at that?
Describe it.
It's very difficult to describe, but there are some features that are really cool. There's a picture of John Bertle, and next to it, it says, not the ultimate boy, but a very important one. I think that's really funny. But anyway, Guan's paintings, I really want one. She told me it was going to be like $10,000.
Why do you want one?
Well, I guess I don't need them if they're in Kaechung. That was kind of the point of my talk about that.
How often do you need to see a work?
There are some works that I really, really like having around. Like that one found sculpture that I stole from you in Broken 2.
Was that intentional?
That's a really, really nice one. No way. Of course not.
It's okay.
That one's really nice. I have a few other artworks that I'm really happy to have around, but...
They're kind of like friends.
Yeah, with the objects?
Yeah, it works.
I don't know. It's kind of like... some, I don't know. Did you read about the apple guy murdered with heroin by the prostitute?
Oh, jeez, man.
On his 50-foot yacht. Supposedly a high-end prostitute injected him with heroin and left him to die on his yacht.
Why'd you bring that up?
I don't know, I was just reading about it before we got in there. Hmm? Can't remember. Someone pretty famous and very rich. Just interesting. I bet he has an art collection.
Probably a Jeff Koons yacht.
Jeff Koons. Let's speculate on what other artists would be in his collection. Marina Abramović.
Ansel Adams.
Joseph Cornell. This is pretty common for us to do this, even if there are no microphones, right?
To blow into the mic.
Yeah.
Check.
Should we talk about weed?
No.
All right.
What's going on this week?
I don't know. This week, I'm going to Agoura Hills tomorrow to have lunch with Solomon and Arna, and this dude who's a mechanical designer.
Is that about the speakers?
Mechanical engineer.
I've never heard of a mechanical.
What? No. Mechanical engineer and a mechanical designer. Doesn't that sound like not even a job?
Sounds like the job I want to have.
Mechanical engineer, yeah, mechanical designer. Mechanical engineer is cool. He's a speaker designer.
How soon are we going to see these speakers?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask Solomon.
Give me a timeline.
You're really going to have to ask Solomon.
If you had to put money on it, how soon would these speakers be jamming?
I can't even guess.
I'm excited for this weekly party.
Yeah. We should definitely do it.
It's
Koreatown, though?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I mean, I think whatever works, right?
Yeah. What do you think about Robert Redford?
When's your birthday?
July 28th.
Where's the party?
I don't know.
No party?
I don't know. This record is called Man and His Awareness.
What are you aware of?
The spoken emotion of loneliness, sorrow, sensuality, and love.
What do you think about that?
Sit back, listen, feel, think, and know that something good, something unique, a total listening experience that you will listen to and enjoy over and over again has just entered your life.
Way to go. Too true. Yeah, wow. Wow, that whole stack of records.
It's kind of amazing that they ended with LaVon, because LaVon's an old buddy of the Talking Show.
Yeah, exactly. LaVon Lambeth was on the Talking Show earlier. In our first year of operation?
Yeah. And then he's dutifully gotten Steve very drunk many times since then.
LaVon's been a good friend enemy of Nicholas and I over the years that we've done the Talking Show. Pretty wild that you guys wrapped up on that note. Also, actually, I would say that was one of the most gripping buddy performances we've had on the show since Derek and Clive.
Yeah.
Also, in our second year that we did Derek and Clive.
Weren't there two ladies who did the Baudrillard or something?
That's different. I feel like that was different.
Okay. Yeah.
This was different than two ladies who did the Baudrillard. Derek and Clive were definitely men.
True.
From the United Kingdom.
The two ladies were not men.
No, and they were reading Baudrillard, and Derek and Clive were just sort of being themselves.
Yeah, that's true. There were those three architects, though.
Oh, those three architects. Those guys.
Yeah, they were too serious.
Oh, those guys.
Way too serious.
Team 10, where do they get off? Those jerks.
Well,
I was just at Hennessy and Ingalls in Santa Monica.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? It was disappointing. I've had better times.
Yeah, I feel like they have the books I want for twice the price I want to pay.
I don't even feel like they had any books I wanted except for one coupe. Speaking of architects,
okay,
one coupe Himmelblau monogram that I was sorely tempted to pay $50 for, but you know, maybe we can have them on the show sometime as well, actually, since they're, you know, another notorious buddy act.
I don't know anything about them. Why don't you enlighten me, Steve?
Oh, they're Austrian and Los Angeles-based architects.
Oh, dear.
They've been active since the 60s, actually, but only started building buildings in the 80s.
So can you say that, do people say that an artist has been active? People don't say that, do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You say that about architects for sure.
They say that about artists because there's the, especially before the contemporary period.
Okay.
You would talk about a period of someone's flourishing.
Right.
Like, for example, in the old Dutch system, you would have been, sure, painting for years.
Or drawing.
But no, you would have been painting for someone else.
Yeah.
You would have been
dormant.
You would have been in someone's studio, and then your period of activity begins when the paintings are signed by you, not signed by Rembrandt, but you painted the back of the you did the turban on the figure,
right?
And Rembrandt,
or the shadow painted, of the turban.
Rembrandt painted the eyes, or something like that. You know, and so, but like that would be the distinction in activity.
So another example would be a while back, Too True would have been an apprentice of the Talking Show, but now they just have their own show.
I feel like that's unjustified. I feel like that's a misrepresentation of the facts. We've both been on this radio station as long as anyone has been on this radio station.
Yeah. Well, actually, Too True has been on K-Chung longer than we have by about an hour.
That's true. That's totally true.
Yeah. So we would have been apprentices to Too True.
I think that's the fact. Yeah. By an hour.
By an hour.
Every Wednesday we are born anew as apprentices of Too True.
Oh, the Talking Show. They were active about 1 hour after Too True for the last 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They flourished. for an hour between midnight and one.
So in that language, Too True would have been painting what, and we would have finished what?
No, more that, like, presumably while Too True were on, we were actually filling in the details. And then later on had our own show where our apprentices have the first show on Thursday.
I imagine Too True painting like those kind of psychedelic Bruegel paintings, or however you say his name.
Bruegel.
Right?
Yeah. We're getting a thumbs up. That's the kind of art they'd like to imagine they make, or at least 50%.
Only one thumb up.
One thumb up.
We have, half true.
We have actually that was one thumb out of four potential thumbs on the two true sides. So
quarter true.
That's actually 25%. We don't even get a low pass for 25%.
Incomplete.
Yeah, we're gonna give you guys an incomplete and save you the humiliation of failure.
Yep. Harsh crit.
It's just the way it is, man. We needed at least two thumbs.
Yep.
All right. Well, this wraps another week of the talking show up. Next week, we'll of course have our ever popular every 4 years World Cup rundown, where in the banter section, Nicholas and I will work out what exactly happened during this kind of exciting, kind of weird World Cup season.
I heard today that the supposedly every football fan will remember exactly where they were when Germany decimated Brazil.
Where were you?
In Catherine Andrews' studio.
I was at the Getty Research Institute reading some David Anton works. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might remember that forever, yeah. Actually. That's true. I might remember exactly where I was. Yeah. That was an awfully humiliating defeat.
I felt bad.
It was shameful.
Yeah.
It was really shameful. Like, I feel the Germans should have stopped at a certain point.
I can't remember his name, but I'm really, really taken with the British commentator for ESPN.
Oh, his name is Dark. With an E at the end.
Darke.
Bill Darke. Yeah, Darke. Bill Dark.
Bill Dark. Well, he had an amazing, there was an amazing moment during the Belgium game, where there was a player that the American commentator had been calling De Bruyne for, you know,
right,
10 games or whatever. And he said, well, actually, he's from the Flemish part of Belgium, so it'd be De Bruyne. And the American commentator said, I'm going to stick with De Bruyne.
I'm gonna stick with De Bruyne.
I'm gonna stick with
just
the wrong.
Put the De Bruyne on it.
Yeah, but in the second half, he came back. The American guy pronouncing it correctly, so the producers must have, you know, came
done
down harsh
fact,
on that guy.
A little
guy.
Fact check and been like, yeah, that's not how that guy's
it is De Bruyne.
I can believe it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure.
He's probably not French with a name like De anything.
You never know.
Hmm.
People fall in love, Steve. It just happens.
It's true. It's true. Who knows? Yeah. And especially in the confusing lowlands.
Yep.
Who knows where to draw those lines?
As
between.
Opposed to the crystal clear lucidity of the highlands.
No. I mean, like the low country.
Yeah.
In the high country, to be fair, you do have lucidity because there are valleys and mountains and the separations are clear.
See stuff, yeah.
You know from which valley someone comes or does not come.
And you don't take bed.
In that wash, in that littoral wash that is like the entire sort of Flemish speaking and part of the northern French terrain. You know, it's just like windmills and dikes and windmills and dikes. And it's all flat. You can go wherever you want.
Yep.
It's a great place for touring bicycles, I hear, actually.
And De Bruyne is.
And De Bruyne. And if you're a De Bruyne, you're probably from there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody, watch the World Cup on Sunday so that you'll get all of the amazing talking the following Wednesday.
No, it's true. It's totally true. It's been a really weird tournament so far. I'm not even that excited about the final.
Let's
Why?
Be honest. The final is Argentina versus Germany. Super weird.
But it's like crappy Argentina and weird Germany.
Although decent in the rain, Argentina.
True. Not that decent.
I mean, the Dutch were a better team.
Yeah, and so the rain bested the Dutch, I guess, which is funny because...
Yeah,
because
they got enough of that.
Doesn't it rain a lot in Holland?
I think it snows a lot, too.
Oh.
If it had been snow, that would have been over.
Ooh. But... I mean, really, really, I don't know. I'm kind of glad Germany took out Brazil.
Me too. I've been
it's
rooting
out
for
in the open now.
Yeah.
The talking show was not rooting for Brazil.
They're pro German national team with the integration of some Turkish players.
I am, yeah, and I'm glad that those guys are on there. That shows that Germany is moving into the 21st century as a nation. Like countries like France, for example, which have had weird colonial subjects and immigrants playing on their team for decades now.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 21st century, Germany. Also, there's a black guy who was playing for the Netherlands. Good job.
Yep.
They still throw bananas at the Balotelli in Italy when he plays, which is shameful.
Yikes.
Yeah, that sucks.
He's also kind of a jackass.
To be fair, he's also one of their best players. And yeah. if he left the team because of all the racist taunting of the Italian fans towards him because he's a black man, they would have very little left at all to recommend them. Not like they had much to begin with. Anyway.
Who was the good Del Piero? He was great.
For Italy.
Yeah, I mean like a decade ago.
Yeah, that's ages ago.
They used to be good. They won. They won one. Yeah. They probably won a couple.
No, but they won one recently. I mean,
yeah. Like 94 maybe or something. No, they missed. They lost in PKs to Brazil in 94, I think.
I remember in 2002 when Germany lost to Brazil. How heartbreaking that was. So I'm excited that Germany gets this decent chance to run at it again.
Yeah.
And on that note, we will do the real World Cup rundown mm-hmm. next week.
Watch out. It could be messy.
That is terrible. That is just awful. That is the worst. All right. Well, on that note, good night, Los Angeles.
Have a lovely evening.
Drive safe.